All right, so we start with the early church fathers in the post-apostolic era, the challenges that confronted the burgeoning church as it spread throughout the Roman Empire required a new apologetic counterthrust. Rabbinic Judaism and fully developed Gnosticism, persecuting paganism and Hellenistic culture and philosophy all opposed the fledgling church. And a really good book by the guy who I'm always going to talk about is Michael J. Kruger, Christianity in the Second Century, covers this really, really well on kind of the main thrust against the church, especially from the Gnostic period, and showing the non-Orthodox belief systems that were attempted to be thrust onto the church rather than, oh, they just suddenly appeared from within the church. And there was a war between the opposing parties, and Orthodoxy won out because it's the thing that won. Well,
all right. So they would produce these books and then throw an apostle's name on it and say, well, there it is. Right.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. But the religious apologists defended Christianity against these attacks and sought to gain converts to the faith by arguing for the superiority of the Christian position. There were political apologists who argued that the church should be tolerated by the state. And we see that going forward. And Constantine's name is being brought up, and almost too often Constantine's name is brought up, and the ahistorical value in some of that, or some of the councils around that era seem to people don't read the sources, but just want them to be more powerful or less powerful than what they really are. So, so even from this first position of really second century church, you're being under attack both physically, but also the ideas are coming out, and you do see it in places like Jude and some of the letters that John has of these proto-Gnostic teachers coming in. But the wolves in sheep's clothing have been talked about from Jesus' own mouth to the apostles, and we definitely see that coming about. And so we see the growth of the Christian church, and so with the growth comes people that want to overtake it.
Exactly. Attacks, many from within, right, in terms of these types of things. And so this is the period right after the apostles, right? So this is, we call this the early church fathers, right? So the apologists of the second century is the time period that we're talking about, modeled their arguments, Boa and Bowman tell us, after contemporary philosophical refutations of polytheism and the critiques of pagan philosophy by Hellenistic Jews. So these Jews were arguing against polytheism and pagan philosophy, and so the early Christian apologists modeled their arguments after these Jewish kinds of arguments. Of the many apologists from this period, the most important by far was Justin Martyr. So he was, date him 100 to 165. He was a convert to Christianity from Platonism. And in his dialogues with Trypho, the Jew, Justin used messianic prophecies from the Hebrew scriptures to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. In his two apologies, he appealed for the civil toleration of Christianity and argued that it was, in fact, the true philosophy, right? So he was going against the idea that this was some type of, wrong or cultic type of thing. To show that Christianity should be tolerated, he refuted common errors and rumors, for example, that Christians were atheists, right, because they denied the deity of the, Caesar or whatever. So they weren't atheists, and they denied other gods, by the way. And he also, refuted the idea that Christians ate flesh and drank blood, right, because they did symbolically, but the idea here was that they were cannibals, right? And he presented Christianity as a morally superior religion. So notice here, there was lots of confusion with regard to what Christianity was all about. And so much of his apologetic was clearing up this particular confusion. right? No, Christians are not atheists. No, Christians don't eat flesh and blood, right? These were confusions and that he fought against in his apologetic method.
Yeah. Yeah. And Justin Martyr, an unfortunate last name, he really should have thought that one through, gone through the legal channels to get that changed. Yeah. And so we see this as even in secular history, the charge that there's these weird Christians that are incestuous in some nature because they call each other brother and sister and they're engaging in cannibalism. But also you have these philosophers coming in and saying, yeah, but look at their lives and look at the good that they're doing. And when they go to prison, they have people that aren't in their family, and they come and bring them provisions. And in one of my messages that I've posted on here before to the high school group or the college group, high school group, I gave a big quote on some of these testimonies of the early Christians and showing that their lives were characteristic of people who were separate from the world used to be a part of. But now they're a part of this one family. And here, even your outward actions are seen as an apologetic. And so it's not just a thing that you say or, we can be even better atheists than the atheists. We joined the ranks of Socrates, who was also considered an atheist because he had just, one personal God, associated with him and that he denied. And so from even the lives of the early church, we see how they lived was an outward reflection of their apologetic.